Thank you, Pam. Nice to have you and the gang today. It's 10:09 on WGN. This is John Williams. We're here till noon. You can hear me Saturdays from 1 to 3. And we just dropped another Mincing Rascals podcast on Thursday night at 5, if you haven't heard that. We'll broadcast part of it a little after 11 o'clock, but the Mincing Rascals podcast was judged best in the state of Illinois by the Illinois Broadcasters Association. Thank you, Eric Zorn and Steve Bertrand and Scott Stantis and the gang for being part of that, the Mincing Rascals podcast. If you listen to podcasts, that's one that you definitely should include in your weekly lineup. If you don't, you should. And we'll broadcast a little of it a little after 11 o'clock. I'm not kidding about the rain last night. And it's just like I'm always looking at the phone for the weather app to see what the weather's like, right? And I'm always saying to Brenda, because I'm a glasses half full, I go, hey, sun and clouds tomorrow or today and 83 or whatever, you know. And she's going, and Brenda's pretty much now just, yeah, uh-huh, put the phone away. Because if it says sunny, and it might be sunny, and then we sat down, I had my gin and tonic, and Daisy was there, and had my little thing, had my A-L-E-X-A, I know I'm not supposed to say that word on the radio because then your things will go off, but I had my smart speaker out there. And we had some jazz going, and the sun was shining, and by the time we got situated, kablam! Hail the size of limes, just a bam, ba-bam, 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 ba-bam. So then we go, all right, come on, panic dog, let's go. Everybody goes inside. And then you set down your gin and tonic, and you put your nuts over there, and you get the smart speaker back in there, and you're all plugged in. You look out the window. It's sunny. Griff got caught in the rain.
I was, jogging by the lake.
I saw a lot of those people, just, you know, on social media and otherwise. Just, and that's not a rain you can just jog through.
Well,
that's
no, not really.
Well, my day's over now.
I did, but you can't. Also, those two things are true at the same time. It was a horrible scene. But I was about, like, midpoint of my run, like, as far away from my house as I could be. When it started to drizzle, and I knew it was a possibility when I left. I took the risk, and I paid for it.
I like the term panic dog. Does that mean your dog panics, or you use it for when you panic?
Oh, that's right. It's like a comfort dog. It's my panic dog. No, this is a dog that if the birds chirp too loud, Daisy's a dizzy, dappled dachshund. She's our rescue, and we're still rescuing her years later. And so, yeah, if the birds are chirping or, God forbid, there's a lightning strike, she looks at us and she goes, okay, here, we're going in now. And by the way, I'm going to poop. That's pretty much the deal.
So you're the comfort human for the panic dog.
When she goes on airplanes, I sit next to her. Actually, I don't. Brenda does, or Griffin or Grant or Nikki, you know, one of the kids or in-laws or, frankly, anybody but me gives that dog comfort, which is weird because I buy the chicken. I'm the money. Every now and then I look at her and go, you are sitting on my sofa. It was not the championship game in the World Cup, but the United States women beating France in France 2-1 is being called one of the biggest games in soccer history. I knew this thing was coming up. I didn't know that the smart soccer people would say that, but they are. And that Megan Rapinoe and the president, now Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I stumble on that. Here's Griffin with the correct pronunciation.
Ocasio-Cortez.
Have made it a political event. So be it. But it's a shame if anything takes away from how good the team is, how well they play, how compelling that match yesterday was. But when I turn on the TV and see highlights of the game, the scroll underneath has Rapinoe's comments about going to the White House. I know she doesn't control that. But it's not necessary to make that the headline when you tell the story. Attention, sports world, stop that. That soccer game, that soccer team, and that soccer player can live in their own universe. We don't need to shade it. What a great game that was yesterday.
That's me deleting my headline. Just following your instructions.
You're doing the world a favor there, Joe.
No, but I get what you're saying, but... And, you know, it's Team USA. Obviously, that contrast is going to be thrown in there with all the political arguing we have nowadays. And it's, yeah, keep politics out of sports. But then you've got Team USA and one of the premier players of that team.
Who scored both goals.
Right. Speaking out. I do kind of love the irony of the president challenging the athlete. and then the athlete succeeding.
He's putting it up, yeah. And you know, I don't watch a lot of soccer. I watch some. I watch it on TV, but mostly if it's not World Cup, I'm just watching the men play. That team from France was up to the challenge. We just were better, but that was not a one-sided affair. And our goalie made some very good saves, and they had opportunities. I mean, it was a back and forth match. It was just, and you know, the passing and the sprinting and just the athleticism of those ladies on the field, it's just really fun to watch. It was, I think, I don't know, but it looked to me like a really well-played soccer match.
I love the camaraderie once the World Cup comes around, because every general sports fan just becomes a soccer expert, including myself.
Exactly.
How could you center the pass that way? Are you kidding me?
I know. Well, so on Rapinoe's second goal,
6 minute, Morgan leads it. Heath in the box. Two runners across. It goes free. Rapinoe shot. Goal. 2-0 U.S.
So if you ever want to sound smarter than you are, you say, never mind the goal. What a pass. You know, the assist is what really impressed me. You know, I'm above the headlines. I can dig a little deeper. But that was an amazing pass.
Threaded the needle.
Holy cow. Did she know, or was that just like a fluke? I think that whoever passed her the ball, Rapinoe gets all the attention. But that goal, came as a result of that pass. That was really something to see. So congratulations to Team USA. Okay, so today is Saturday. Pride Parade is tomorrow. And I'm only catching up now on the story of the, 50-year anniversary and why the Stonewall riots happened and what they were all about. Chicago's Pride Parade is tomorrow. Starts at noon at Broadway and Montrose. Pam's telling you about this. It runs about 4 miles through Chicago. Ground zero may be Broadway and Halsted. It's about 4 blocks east and a few blocks north of Wrigley Field if you're coming into the city. Curbed.com says that the Belmont stop on the Red Line, if you're using public transportation, is the most crowded spot. So if you want crazy, figure south of Irving Park to Belmont. That's where the crowds will be 30 deep in some places, according to the parade website. And based on my experience a few years being in it or watching it, I'd say that sounds about right. The parade will be on Channel 7 from 1 to 3 tomorrow, and they'll live stream it on the ABC TV website. WGN Radio has a float in the parade again this year, as does everybody, right? You know, one of the signs that pride is mainstream, and this isn't new, but it's when you go to the parade, it's like every major American corporation, every TV station, every car dealership, everybody wants to be in the Pride Parade. The annual Pride celebration commemorates the rebellion of LGBT patrons of the Stonewall Inn in New York City's Greenwich Village in response to a routine police raid that took place June 27, 1969. The following year, a gay inn took place on June 27th, and that was the progenitor of the current Pride celebration. Since 1972, the event has been held every year. Since its modest beginnings, Chicago Pride has grown to be one of the largest, most well-known Pride events in the world. History.com has an article titled Seven Facts About the Stonewall Riots. And the first thing they point out is that the first documented U.S. gay rights organization was founded in Chicago in 1924. Henry Gerber, he was a German immigrant. He fought for the United States in World War I, founded the Society for Human Rights. He had a little group. They published a newsletter. Police raids forced them to disband a couple years later in 1925. But 90 years later, the U.S. government designated Gerber's Chicago house as a National Historic Landmark. The property is in the Old Town Triangle across from the southwest corner of Lincoln Park. It's an apartment building today. They don't do tours there, but there it is. But about the Stonewall Riot, this is from History.com. In 1966... three members of an early organization dedicated to fighting for gay rights staged sip-ins. Sip-ins. They'd go to taverns. They would declare that they were gay. They would wait to be turned away so they could then sue. The Commission on Human Rights argued that gay individuals had the right to be served in bars like everybody else, and so police raids became less commonplace. At this time, the LGBTQ community and the mafia formed an uneasy alliance. Both operated on the outskirts of society, so the mob ran the gay bars in the 1950s and 60s. A member of the Genovese family, Fat Tony Loria, bought the Stonewall Inn in 1966, and he turned it into a gay nightclub. The mafia would bribe the cops in New York to turn a blind eye to the quote-unquote indecent conduct. They also blackmailed the wealthy patrons, threatening to out them. One tool that the police would use to arrest the LGBTQ people was the three article rule. The rule stipulated that a person was required to wear at least three gender-appropriate articles of clothing. Otherwise, you could be arrested for cross-dressing, not in the 1400s, but in New York City in the 1950s and 1960s. So it was unseasonably warm that night, June 27th, 1969, in Greenwich Village. The Stonewall Inn was packed. The cops showed up to make arrests. And this time, the patrons fight back. By 4 a.m. the next morning, it's June 28th, the mob of protesters outside the Stonewall Inn had grown so large and unruly that the original New York Police Department raiding party retreated back into the inn itself, and they barricaded themselves inside. In a complete 180, the rioters were now breaking into the inn to get to the police. They used a parking meter as a battery ram. No one died or was even critically injured that night. But that was the night that the LGBTQ community served notice. And 50 years later, in June of 2019, here in Chicago, a million people will line the streets and streets across the country, starting tomorrow at noon here. So there's your 411 on that. Pause here for a minute. Yep, we got to take a break, don't we, Griff? It's 10:22. By the way, Mike Novak used to do a radio show here, and he also used to engineer here and do a number of things. He, if you recall, was like very big into gardening. He and Kathy O'Malley would even do a show on the topic. And there's an organization that wants to know how pretty your corporate or building or home garden is, and they hand out awards. And that's a great thing, especially since we're so embracing any good weather and color we get in Chicago this year. So I want you to know a little bit about that, and he'll say hi to us after 10:30. It's 10:22 on a lovely Saturday morning on WGN. The Mincing Rascals after 11 o'clock, we'll talk a little bit about, actually, we aren't going to play back them talking about the debate, but it is part of the podcast where our roundtable kind of talked about how that went. But you know how we don't like the fact that everybody talks at the same time during the debates? And it's just such a cluster. The moderators are yelling and everybody's yelling. They're all jockeying for position. Somebody texted in and they said what they need to do is have the ability to shut off their mics. So if they say, Bernie Sanders, what should we do about China? And then somebody else interjects, just only one mic works. That's not a bad idea. There was one woman in the second night of the debate, I think it was, Marianne Williamson. She's sort of a spiritual love advisor. She's an author. If you have enough money and if you get enough signatures, you get to be in the debates. The stakes get higher as we go up, so it might winnow itself out. But if you're wondering why that Yang guy or that Williamson gal were there, it's because they actually got enough of the credentials that you need to be on it. It's not like anybody's saying that they're going to win. Marianne Williamson was a trip. She didn't speak for the first half hour, but she's the one that said things like this.
My first call is to Prime Minister of New Zealand, who said that her goal is to make New Zealand the place where it's the best place in the world for a child to grow up. And I will tell her, girlfriend, you are so wrong, because the United States of America is going to be the best place in the world for a child to grow up. So, Mr. President, if you're listening, I want you to hear me, please. You have harnessed fear for political purposes, and only love can cast that out. So I, sir, I have a feeling you know what you're doing. I'm going to harness love for political purposes. I will meet you on that field, and, sir, love will win.
I'm sorry that you can't see Griffin's face while we play these clips, because it's a man in agony. It's whatever anguish looks like in your world, I'm looking at it right now through the glass.
I hate to even engage in the conversation in any way, even to say that I hate the conversation, because even that is rote at this point. There's no way that you can deal with this in a respectable, interesting way, you know, at this stage in the process. I hate it all.
It's too early.
But I hate even saying that. It's all bad. But
you
want to
comment on how bad it is.
Even the people who performed well at the debates, I don't. I didn't watch, and I won't until I don't know. I feel ready. I find it to be a very important process. Yeah. I take it very seriously. I truly do. But I did not watch.
I give you a pass. Like if it was a month,
I can take the one that is in the summer of 2019. I can take that one off because it's ridiculous. It's so early. Maybe it's not ridiculous. It feels very early, and there's a lot of stress ahead.
So why borrow it now?
Yeah. So I hadn't heard Marianne. I heard about her, but until this morning,
and totally trippy.
It's really hard to listen to again.
I think here's my salve for that, Griffin. It's okay. You can bow out. You're not. That's not you disengaging. That's you just managing your stress, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I have to watch it a little bit more than maybe the average American, so I do. And the way I process it without losing my mind is it's a big country with all kinds of people. Some are serious, some are flaky, some are left-handed, some are right-handed, and it's all good. You know, just y'all have at it, and I'll be there when you're ready, when you tell me who the four or three are that I need to pay attention to. So anyway, what was this, Seth Meyers? Who did he have on the other night?
Kate McKinnon.
Okay, so Kate McKinnon, who from SNL does impersonations so well of Hillary, she does a good Elizabeth Warren.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah, she does Marianne Williamson, but Seth says that window might be closing.
The window for Marianne Williamson impressions might be closing fast.
Mm-hmm. She was a shining comet. She was like, she was, I'll just do,
will you
this
do
is
a
my
little,
quick,
there's a little taste.
I was practicing while we were watching. Yeah. I've heard a lot of plans here tonight, and if we think plans are going to be Donald Trump, we got another thing coming. My plan is to gather all the sage in America and burn it. My plan is to harness the energy of babies to finally put a man on the moon. And I said to the president of New Zealand, I said, girlfriend, you're so on. And I would say to Donald Trump, boyfriend, you chill. Thank you.
She is such a character. I'm not making this up, that strategists in the Republican Party are encouraging their followers to donate money so she can be in future debates, just to keep her on stage. It's 10:30. We'll pause here. We'll go into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Thank you, Pam. This is John. It's 10:37 on WGN. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio in about a half an hour, the Mincing Rascals podcast, and then the always popular Vibe Score segment, where Griffin updates us on a song and we kick around some of the topics that are in the news. White Sox baseball later on today on WGN. I got a nice letter from an old friend of ours, Mike Novak, who you know for many reasons and for many years here at WGN Radio. Were you an engineer as well as a show host, Mike? What was your title?
That's how I started. I started as an engineer and then did stuff my background was theater.
Theater, I was just going to say.
Yeah, I ran a theater company for 10 years.
And you did a gardening show with Kathy?
Right. Kathy started a gardening show, and I was taking Master Gardener courses at the time, and we both were passionate amateurs in gardening. And she started the show, and she said, hey, you want to sit in? I went, okay, sure. And then after a couple of years, she says, I already work here 5 days a week. I don't need six. So if you want the gardening show, you can have it. And I took it. I said, fine. And I ran it here or was host of it here till 2008.
So you sent me a note, and it said in 2011, Chicago discontinued a more than 50-year tradition of handing out awards to gardeners of all types around the city. I didn't realize that, and it kind of surprised me because Chicago is a city that so celebrates its common spaces, its gardens, the midway in between the street on Michigan Avenue.
Yeah.
If any city should be doing that, it should be us.
It's a head scratcher. It really is. I have no idea why the city stopped doing that. I just know that a new administration came in, which was the Emanuel administration, and after 1 year, I think they were just cleaning up what Mayor Daley had started. And it had been going on for 50 years, I think you mentioned. And to just pull the rug out from under all these people who do all this beautiful work in the neighborhoods and make our city more livable, more sustainable.
You do a show about a number of things, gardening, the environment, at MikeNovak.net with Peggy Malecki. Peggy is sitting
but also on, may I say, also on the radio.
Oh, okay.
All right, 1590 WCGO. So we're on Sunday mornings, 9 to 11 a.m.
So you and Peggy are kind of a team. Peggy, is your background gardening then, or what?
I'm more of a home gardener, but I've been gardening for years. I do healthy things related to healthy living, green living as well.
Yeah.
She publishes
Natural Awakening Chicago magazine.
I can't get it out. But
Natural
yeah.
what? Say
Natural Awakening Chicago
Natural
magazine.
Awakening
yeah.
Chicago.
It's a magazine about health and wellness, yes.
Health yeah. and wellness and green living and healthy eating and the whole fact that how we treat the planet, how we treat the neighbors, how we treat the neighborhood is all tied into our overall health and wellness.
So what's the major cause for you right now in that sphere? Like, is it lowering carbon footprints or growing rooftop gardens? What are
Everything.
You? Everything. Yeah, all of that.
Everything. Huh? And so much of it is education and awareness. People
but I,
just
I,
don't
I would
know.
Say healthy eating plays into that
yes.
a lot.
Yes,
you talk a, she talks a lot about healthy eating, and we bring that on to the radio mm-hmm. show as well.
So you guys now have sort of brought back the, what, gardening awards in Chicago?
Yeah, we after a couple of years, I said, okay, if the city won't do it, I will. And Peggy said, yeah, we'll do it. And she jumped in. And then we got a bunch of great partners like the Shedd Aquarium and Illinois Extension out of Cook County and Advocates for Urban Agriculture, Chicago Flower and Garden Show. I mean, on and on and on. The Park District of Chicago, interestingly enough.
Cook County Forest Preserve.
Yeah, Cook County Forest Preserves create these wonderful signs when you win an award in our contest. And it's free, by the way. I should say that as often as possible. It's free.
It's
to
free.
Enter. You win this wonderful metal sign that you can put in your garden, and it will hold up for years.
Is it for residents or is it for businesses? Who vies for these gardening awards in Chicago?
Everybody. All of it. It's all of the above. So if you have a backyard, if you live in a large apartment building, but you work with your fellow tenants, community garden, school garden,
if
church garden.
If you have
garden,
a container garden.
Yeah, well, then there's
oh, that's
a different kind.
Too.
No, but if you live in a high rise and you've got a nice outdoor balcony with...
Oh,
containers.
Let's celebrate that. And
yes.
then what about if our building just has it landscaped by a professional firm? Are we eligible?
You know, that's an interesting question. We're sort of in between on that. Let's see what the story is behind it. One of the things we like to do is talk to people about the obstacles they've had to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always part of a gardening story, especially in an urban area.
Why? What would an obstacle be to me having a nice garden?
Well, for instance, we have a woman who's gardening on the 37th floor of a high rise, and
yeah.
she's a vet. And she has, because of her service in the Middle East, she has an allergy to sunlight, okay? She can only garden at night or in the evening or in early morning. And she has a beautiful garden, but we took in to consideration that story, which is an amazing story, and we gave her an award.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. I mean, so it's the beauty, maybe it's the diligence, is maybe it's mm-hmm. it's
well,
the
and look
commitment.
At the, yeah, and look at the neighborhoods, some of the neighborhoods where folks have, they're suffering from rampant crime. My own neighborhood, we started a community garden in 2011. It was at last year, the city awards. I was living five doors down from a gang corner where they were selling drugs. We put in a community garden, and a couple of years later, the gangs were gone. They were gone because sunlight is the best disinfectant.
But a community garden to me is vegetables. Is this award for flower gardens, though? It's for beautiful gardens, or is it for vegetable gardens, or it's any kind of garden?
Any kind of garden. Actually, if people are using native plants and other plants and incorporating edibles within it, then they're really taking advantage of what they can be doing on their property.
I get the feeling you guys are making some of this up as you go, which is which is maybe the beauty of sort of an ad hoc thing like this or a grassroots thing like this.
We want you to sell us on the story
yeah,
of your garden.
There you go.
All right. Yeah. But the thing is about for instance, community garden. Well, more and more gardens include edibles, as Peggy said. A community garden often has the focus on vegetables, but they'll grow a lot of pollinator plants as well to attract bees and other pollinators.
Or they're planting fruit trees.
Right.
Oh, no kidding. Really?
Yeah.
So when people do this, do they say, here's the address, come on by, or do you rely on pictures loaded up to the website?
We start with pictures. We say, you can go online to chicagogardeningawards.org. You go to chicagogardeningawards.org and you fill out the form, and there's a place for you to enter two photographs. We look at the photographs, and then if we like what we see, you make the next cut. And then we come out, we send a judge out to the area, and we really want to talk to the folks, the gardeners there. We don't want to just show up and look at it.
And they can be last year's photos. They don't have to be this year's. It's been a slow spring.
Right. Good enough point. And I also just sort of get the feeling, tell me if this is right, that if I don't have a big, beautiful, magnificent garden, I have a smaller garden, but you appreciate the space, the effort, and where it exists. Mm-hmm. Maybe that sort of transcends somebody who has half an acre and unlimited resources, right?
Definitely. There are some amazing, very small gardens in the city, and it's how people are using the space, how they're planting it, how they're interacting with it, how are they giving back to the community with this small space they planted.
There are city triangles that separate streets. There are parkways. We've given awards to people who are planting on parkways. There was a woman who planted in drawers, okay? She found a bureau, and she put it out behind her garage, and she opened the drawers and put soil in it and planted in it. It was one of the most creative things I've ever seen.
Yeah, no kidding. Good for her. You know, are there some spaces in Chicago that the two of you especially like that, you know, aren't maybe vying for your award, but I mentioned a moment ago Michigan Avenue, obviously, through downtown. They've got that spot in the middle that just goes all the way north and south, and it's so nicely landscaped. So there's a place like that. Are there other places that you just say, either public or private, that we might know that you think, wow, what a nice thing for the city to have such a pretty vista?
I'd point to the museum campuses.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I think they do a nice job. Yeah.
Yeah,
Millennium Park, obviously, I think is well maintained, too.
The Lurie Garden is terrific. Everybody, it has become, and I talk to horticulturists all the time, and Lurie Garden has become a destination for gardeners across the world, around the world.
Generally, where is that, Lurie Garden? For people who don't know,
it's downtown Chicago. It's the north is Randolph, the south is Monroe, I believe.
I think so.
Google Lurie Garden, downtown Chicago,
and east of Michigan, and that area. And there's the shoulder hedge. It's the city of big shoulders. They have the iron there with the evergreens there.
They've got the plant river that runs through it.
Oh, very nice.
I didn't get it at first, but now I've kind of...
You've warmed to it a little bit?
Yeah, I have warmed to it a little bit.
Okay, so if I want to submit a picture, two pictures of... and maybe it's my neighbor's garden or somebody I know. Do them a kind of a good silent Samaritan and nominate
their
garden.
We've had that happen, yes. And family members, you know, nominate mom because she's such a great gardener.
Yeah. Is this Chicago only? Like if I live in Oak Brook or Oak Park, I'm outside the border. I'm not in, right?
Yeah, we would love to expand it and make it a Chicago Area Gardening Awards. Right now, we're sticking
to
this.
It's a big city, by the way.
We want to hit all 50 wards first. Okay, we'll start with all 50 wards.
Do you do that? Is that how you do it? An award for each ward, or just generally you'd like to spread the love as much as you can?
Generally, we want to spread the love.
Yeah. How many do you give, one award or two, or how many awards go out?
Last year was about 65 awards.
Really? Oh, good. Well, that makes... Maybe that's encouraging to people. Mm-hmm. Thinking, I wouldn't be the best.
We will give out as many awards as we need to celebrate the best gardeners in the city. And you mentioned something earlier that's really important. You do not have to have it look like Versailles. All right. It doesn't need to be like that. It doesn't need to look like the Chicago Botanic Garden. It needs to be interesting. And you need to, you know, things need to be growing well. We want healthy plants. That's part of what's going on. But I wouldn't get too involved in design, that whole thing. I mean, design's wonderful. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
Don't get me wrong.
There needs to be a plan.
I'm trying to tell it that it's all inclusive. Yeah. I'm trying to say that.
And it's a great learning opportunity for all the gardeners as well. The judge is going to come out, talk with them, hear the story, and hopefully they're going to get some information about ways they could be improving or using more compost or water
retention. Well, if I went to your website now, would I see award winners from previous years to get ideas, too?
Yes.
There's a gallery of winners up there, yeah.
ChicagoGardeningAwards.org. ChicagoGardeningAwards.org. It's free to enter. And if I win, you're not going to hit me up for a lot of money to get my prize.
We're not even going to share your email, really. However, we should say that for everybody entering, all you have to do is enter the contest. You don't even have to win. Every entry gets a $15 gift certificate to City Grange, which is a brand new garden center in the city of Chicago, and also a chance to win a rain barrel from the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District of Greater Chicago.
Speaking of decorating Chicago, I saw this morning the cows are coming back. Speaking of public art in the city.
Are they really?
Yeah, I think, is it this July? I think the cows will be coming back to the city.
So do we get to say the cows are coming home?
Yes, I believe that was the headline of the article.
The cows.
Was it? Okay.
We need a gardening cow.
That made me think about that. So ChicagoGardeningAwards.org. ChicagoGardeningAwards. Easy enough to remember. It is what it is. ChicagoGardeningAwards.org. Submit by July 7th. Yeah.
Next Sunday.
You've got in a week to either get your old pictures when it was blooming or take the best pictures you can between now and next Sunday. Submit them on the website, and then maybe we'll catch up with you guys later. And when will the awards be announced?
We have a ceremony in the fall, in October. And we will announce the awards probably in September. We will be judging in July and mid of August, pretty much.
Mike Novak, longtime known name here at WGN Radio, and Peggy Malecki, nice to meet you both. And ChicagoGardeningAwards.org. And Mike Novak Show.
The Mike Novak Show with Peggy Malecki, Sunday mornings, 9 to 11 a.m., 1590 WCGO.
All right, nice to see you two. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
I got to go record some commercials in the back when I'm done here. I'm doing double duty today. I don't know if you realize that.
You probably are. Are you?
You're stopping at the board, too, right?
Right, exactly.
It's good to see you, too. Good luck. Okay, it's 10:51 on WGN. Brian Steele is a spokesman for the CTA. He joined us yesterday to talk about what you should do when you drop something onto the L tracks. And I was thinking, with everybody coming into the city for all of the events this weekend, there's going to be a million people watching Pride. This might be helpful to know. Earlier this week, a young woman died after stepping onto the red line tracks to retrieve her phone. Friday, I was on the red line, and a woman tried to do the very same thing. And it made me think, well, what should you do if you drop your wallet or your purse or your phone onto the tracks? Is it just gone forever? Here's what Brian Steele from the CTA said.
CTA platforms sit about 4 feet above the ground. And I agree with what you said earlier, that I think a lot of people think, oh, I'll just go down there for a moment, pick up my dropped item, and it's easy for me to get back on the platform. And as yesterday's tragedy demonstrated, sometimes it's just not that easy. There's a really easy way, though, to retrieve an item that you lost. Tell the CTA, and we'll get it for you. We actually have an advertising campaign, awareness campaign on our system about this very topic. If somebody drops an item, they can let anyone at CTA know. They can let the customer service assistant at the station. They can let the rail operator. Rail stations have call buttons where you can alert station personnel. They are trained, rail safety trained, to go down onto the tracks, what we call the right-of-way, and retrieve the item. So, yeah, it might take a couple minutes. You might have to wait for the next train, but it's certainly the safest and most recommended way to handle something like that.
Do they stop the oncoming train so your personnel can retrieve the item?
Absolutely. That's why it's important to notify CTA personnel. We can be in contact with our control center, which oversees all of our rail operations, and tell them, hey, we got to go down and pick up a phone on the tracks. Why don't you hold the trains for the 30 seconds or minute that it will take us to do that? So absolutely. That's why we always recommend notifying CTA personnel. Don't think you can do it yourself. Let us take care of it for you.
I'm under the impression that one of those rails is hot, but I'm also under the impression that I don't know what that means, because if I touch that, it's not going to electrocute me, right?
Unfortunately, it will. What you're referring to is the third rail, which delivers the electrical power that powers CTA trains. Now, the third rail is the furthest away from the platform. It's the farthest away that you can get. But if a person does make contact with that, unfortunately, they can experience just a terrible situation. The electricity that powers our trains is 600 volt direct current power. It's fatal in most cases. Again, another reason why we encourage people, just stay off the tracks. That's not the place for you to be. It's for trains only.
In the instance earlier this week where somebody was hit trying to retrieve something on the red line, do you know the circumstances? Was it the way I described, and they went down to get it, and then they literally simply couldn't get back up onto the platform in time?
Essentially, what you described is correct. The person believed that they could retrieve this pretty quickly, went down there, and unfortunately, trains approach a lot more quickly than you may think. CTA trains, obviously, as they're approaching stations, they reduce their speed, but they come into stations pretty quickly, and they can come up on you pretty quickly. And it may look like, oh, that's pretty easy for me to jump down there. But again, that's 4 feet, maybe even a little bit more than 4 feet off the ground. And that train that looks like it's maybe 30 seconds away might be a lot closer than that.
It can be deceptive, both the height, the speed of the train. And it sounds so logical, right? Just tell them. They know this happens. You're not a bad person. They'll fix it for you. But I never thought about that. So keep that in mind. Tell your kids. Thank you, Brian Steele from the CTA. It's 10:58 WGN. Thank you, Ryan. That's the thing. As hot as it is, you go to the lake, the water's freezing. So it's like, it may be too warm, but that's too cold.
I'll take my chances. That sounds like a nice cool dip.
I think what you should do is wade in. Don't just jump in because you get that.
you can't do it gingerly. You just all in. Close the eyes, jump in.
I'm trying to offer safety advice here, Ryan Burrow.
I know, but, you know, my wife does it that way, and it takes her forever to get into a pool or to a lake. It's just like, she's kind of up to the knees.
I do that.
And
I
up
kinda,
to the waist.
I zigzag
like,
back
on.
And forth, back and forth, back and forth, and it takes me like a half an hour to get up to my waist. All right, let's move on. It's 11:10 on WGN. Thank you, Ryan Burrow, WGN Radio News. This is John Williams. The Mincing Rascals is a podcast that we drop Thursdays around 5 o'clock here at WGN Radio. This week, it features Scott Stantis, the Tribune's editorial cartoonist, and the columnist Eric Zorn, and our own Steve Bertrand, along with yours truly. We talked about a number of things this week, and here's a sample of it. Eric Trump was spit on by a waitress at a Chicago bar. This week, Chicago was talking a lot about that crime and should the waitress be fired. The first voice you hear is Steve Bertrand.
How do you get spitting on someone?
Well, first of all, I don't think that it's the crime that you do, although I spoke to an assistant state's attorney in the suburbs yesterday, and she said, oh, yeah, that's a crime. We have prosecuted that as a crime.
I'm on the air for 20 minutes telling him that it's a crime. He's like, I don't think it's a crime. I'm like, it's assault. It's battery.
It's not the same as punching somebody in the nose or hitting somebody with a stick.
It's close. And it's deplorable. I don't know.
I don't argue that it's deplorable. Go ahead.
Okay. I don't know where you go with this. I don't understand why this woman wasn't fired. You don't spit on somebody. It's not a question of politics. It's just human
manners.
Decency and the law and manners and everything else. It's, you don't do that. I mean, I have utter contempt for Eric Trump, but I'm not going to spit on him. And I think that if this becomes a norm, if it becomes something that we do, like we're throwing milkshakes at people over in Europe now and throwing shoes at people over in Asia, I think that is just a bad road to go down, no matter how you feel about them politically.
Well, I think also, let's turn it around. Let's say you're spitting in the face of Obama's kids because you really don't like...
Well, Eric's wife said
Obamacare.
That. Would, you know, how would this go if somebody spat in Sasha Malia's face? I don't think that's a fair comparison.
It is a little bit because Eric Trump is involved with his father's enterprise and his businesses in a way that just children, teenage children, are not. But even still, I don't care if it's even Donald Trump Jr., who's even worse than Eric Trump. It doesn't help the cause. This is the thing where, like, if this advanced the anti-Trump cause or it emboldened or it energized the anti-Trump base, that would be a justification for it. But I don't think that it does.
I can't stress this enough. I get it. I'm not advocating for it. I think there's a measure of hypocrisy when all of us take the high road. If you are a relatively powerless person, right? I mean, you're a waitress or you're just Joe Blow in America. And there go one of those Trumps. and you miss the opportunity to fully express to them how vile you think they are, I understand why people can't.
I don't think being against spitting on people is taking the high road. You know, I mean, I understand that people are upset and frustrated, but it's never acceptable. I'm not going to give you a B on this.
Okay.
The pro-expectorant host of WGN's afternoon.
I also think the restaurant chain, and they made a mistake in their statement, I believe, because then they referred to the hate they were getting online and the bad reviews they were getting and saying, look, we're better than this. This is how far our political debate has fallen. I think they should have left all of that out. You know, what they should have said was, one of our people spit on one of our customers.
Yeah.
That's unacceptable always and forever. And then stop talking.
And don't try and parse the debate
Don't say, and you people are bad too because you're coming after
us. There's bad people on both sides. Don't do that.
Leave that. It is wrong for people to go online and give them bad Yelp reviews and things like that. I mean, that's also wrong. It's not spitting in someone's face, right. However. So,
by the way, Eric, maybe you should apologize this week because you said Robert Mueller would never testify because he's a coward. And in 3 weeks, I think you will.
I never said that.
I think I can. Really? Are you serious? Because I'm pretty sure a lot of people are saying
you never said that.
Fake news.
I think you shouted it. I don't think you said it. I think you shouted it in this podcast.
Well, that was Stantis. Definitely Stantis.
Are you guys happy? Are you surprised?
I'm very happy that he's going to be testifying. I think that,
and it's an open session, right?
It's an open session, as I understand it, and I agree with those who say that although the Mueller report is damning of Trump and his attempts to obstruct justice, most people haven't read it. I haven't read the whole report. I admit that it's dense, and this is the, like some people have said, this is the TV show that's made out of this rather long, boring book. And I think people are going to watch it, and I think it's going to be it's going to redound to the Democrats' advantage. I don't know what, if it's going to be a huge deal, but it's definitely going to advance the ball on public.
I'm just wondering if, when he gave his statement a few weeks ago, and he said, there's nothing for me to add. So is he just going to carp the lines from the report and not really add anything?
But even
to
if he does that, if he does it in the way the Democrats want, that still will be good. I've not been overly satisfied with his performances so far, so I'm not going to expect very much when it comes to his testimony before the Congress.
I think the fact that he's going to perform at all will be notable. Well, we'll see what.
I don't understand this man. He gets attacked.
Every answer will be page 32.
I don't understand. The guy gets attacked, viciously ad hominem attacks from Trump, and he sits back and just takes it. He's 70, 8 years old or something like that? He doesn't have, like, his great future he's got to worry about. He's fine. He's set. How does he sit there and take that? How doesn't he not come back and say, look, you orange jerk, this is what we said in our report. Why isn't champing at the bit to be
I think he took
testifying.
An oath. He took an oath that he was going to be subservient to, and that's the order in Justice Department, and he adheres to that.
He doesn't work for him anymore. He's not an employee
anymore. But I think you have a code, either written or internal.
So
you
don't like the idea that he's testifying?
Oh, I love it.
Do you want him to call him an orange jerk or something?
No, I want him to be what he's been this whole time, which is very calm and measured.
And maybe that will be sufficiently damning for somebody. I mean, I don't even think the end game here is impeachment. I just think it's a broader understanding of what happened. And that's what they were trying to do in that 10-act play that some Hollywood stars and others have staged.
According to Comey's account, at one point during the dinner, the president stated,
I need loyalty. I expect loyalty.
Comey did not respond, and the conversation moved on to other topics.
But the president returned to the subject of Comey's job at the end of the dinner and repeated, I need loyalty.
You will always get honesty from me.
That's what I want, honest loyalty.
It was a reading on stage, and maybe you can watch it online, Google it, but it's pretty dramatic because instead of giving you 400 pages, they give you an hour. Here's the first charge. Here's the next charge. Here's 10 reasons why he obstructed or colluded.
You know what's funny, Scott, as you said with the maybe now we'll get to the truth. We know what the truth is. Right? The truth is in the words in the report. We just need someone to say the truth. We need him to say the next sentence, which he's not going to say, and that is that yes, of course, the president obstructed justice.
Tell me if this is a push. I want to go to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has said 5-4 that the federal courts are not the place to settle gerrymandering disputes. So districts,
political partisan gerrymandering.
Sure. So there is other kind of gerrymandering.
Racial.
Oh, that's yeah, I guess started, so. Yeah, and I'm thinking the political kind here, aren't I? So just districts drawn radically to favor a political party, however undemocratic, won't find remedy on a John Roberts Supreme Court, which is a win for conservatives. Though there are cases in the court for both parties.
Yeah, Illinois.
We're in Illinois. You know, this we're in ground
Mike Madigan
zero.
Is the happiest boy in the country today.
Why? Because of this?
Yes.
This has all been talked about as if it's a Republican thing.
I think it is. Well, at the end of the day, the
Republicans are certainly doing it in a lot of states around the country, but the Democrats are doing it in the state where we sit.
You're not going to get people say, "Oh, Mike Madigan should get rid of gerrymandering in Illinois," and I say to that, "Well, no. Why would the Democrats do that? That would be ridiculous. Why would the Democrats disarm in Illinois?" What, to prove a point so that they can keep doing it in Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Texas, everywhere else? The Republicans are doing it.
Illinois
can preen about how great they are about gerrymandering. No, I say the federal government has to step in and make pass laws about this that apply to every state. This should not be a state matter. This should be a federal matter. But
there's state elections.
Yeah,
Eric,
I'm
the
not
problem.
Sure.
We're talking
that.
About state legislative districts.
Well, okay, but we're talking about congressional districts also.
That would be where they could have impact, but state legislative would have no impact.
There could be a federal voting rights act. You could pass a federal voting rights law that would say that.
You don't think Mike Madigan shouldn't, out of the rightness of it, do something to make the elections representative?
This is politics, Sean. Why would the Democrats, Democratic Party say, okay, we're going to unilaterally
disarm?
Because
it's the right thing to do.
No, why would you do that? seriously, this is politics, John. This is politics.
I know that, but it's not just politics.
It is politics. What you want Illinois to weaken its democratic representation in the congressional?
What do I care? If you looked at it neutrally, if you just said let's do what's right, and you think government should do that, then government should represent the people.
But if your neighboring state's doing what's wrong, then you're just weakening yourself.
I don't care about other states. You brought up Mike Madigan and said why would he do it, and I said I think that it's not unreasonable to ask politicians in the state of Illinois to do what's right and representative of the people.
I say let's all hold hands and jump together, or else you're just jumping off a cliff. Why would you do that? I mean, this is politics.
Well,
it's not some philosophy seminar at a university. I'm serious.
I know it's not, but I am amazed. I'm disappointed that you think, therefore, we shouldn't even be aspirational.
But
we shouldn't even.
It's not just politics. It's also government. It's governing. And with the drawing of these maps, then you talk about good government.
What he said.
I mean, it's one thing to make an argument about, you know, to make a political argument or to, you know, do push mailings or things like that. But this comes down to the way they govern, and it's not a fair way to govern.
I get Eric's point. I mean, if you're the party in power, Democrats here in Illinois or Republicans in other states, I mean, why would you give this up? You make a salient point, but the bigger point, which John I think is making, is that they should give it up. They did it in California. They released, and the governor didn't draw the map. It was done by a nonpartisan commission, and they also changed the rules that made their elections a little screwy, and that they had open primaries, so you have two Democrats running in the fall.
Right.
What happens in one party states is what's happening here in Illinois. It's happening in others where you have huge deficits. It's just bad governing.
It's very discouraging, and I don't know about the legal arguments of it. I'm not a Supreme Court justice or lawyer. I don't know if it's a sound ruling or not, but you know what this is going to lead to now are more extreme politicians in seats of government. You're going to have, you know, conservative districts and liberal districts, and all the decisions are going to be made in the primary, which means the more extreme conservative or extreme liberal is the one who's going to win, and it's only going to further divide us until we fix this gerrymandering situation.
Right. Which I think it requires a federal solution, because you're just not going to get these states. If North Carolina would join with Illinois and say, together we're going to pass this law, then I'd say, fine, let's do that, because it is, John's right, it's the right thing to do. But why would it's like a suicide pact for Democrats if you do it by yourself.
Shut this topic down if you guys don't want to do it. Jussie Smollett.
No.
Okay. But
it's a topic that just keeps on giving.
Well, he may yet go to jail. I mean, they're going to be a special prosecutor.
I don't really have an appetite to put the guy in jail. I want him to be at least to stand up and say he did it and he's sorry. That's what I want.
I sound like a parent, don't I?
I thought the special prosecutor was going to look into the prosecution.
And Kim Fox's office.
Right. But are they talking about maybe charging him again, recharging him?
It's possible.
They could. I mean, as a result of this, if they say that, in fact, it was an improper, and that's what the suggestion
is. Because he was never acquitted, right? They just dropped the charges.
Correct. So there's no double jeopardy in play. And since it's not clear that the state's attorney's office in Cook County correctly handled this.
Well, you had Sheila O'Brien on Monday, and she was arguing that this is not really about Jussie Smollett. She was not even willing to take a stand on whether she thinks he's guilty or innocent. She wants to know how come Kim Fox, the state attorney of Cook County, handled this case in this preposterous, peculiar way that she did. And I think it's like a very legitimate question.
I do too.
And the reason for it is not right because Jussie lied or didn't lie. The reason is because we need to restore the faith in justice in Cook County, which is a pretty big...
That's a high bar.
And for that, we thank Jussie. Thank you for...
Kim Fox has to put this behind her.
No way.
Well, I mean, she has to, but I think...
She can try.
This is her doom.
This is her cola tax. This is... it is. She's going to run next year, and she's going to lose because of this.
Scott Stantis, last voice you hear there, the editorial cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. Eric Zorn and Steve Bertrand and me, I'm John Williams. That's about 10 minutes of The Mincing Rascals. It's about a 30-minute podcast. Wherever you get podcasts, it's free. It's called The Mincing Rascals, now with a slick new logo. Let's pause here. It's 11:23. Ryan's getting the news ready for you at 11:30 on WGN. But just this note about the weather. I know it's not fair to blame the weathermen or the weather apps, but I have never been angrier at weather apps and weathermen than I am this summer.
Why?
Because they're wrong all the time.
Yeah.
And I know why they are. Because, like, we had that tremendous rain and hailstorm yesterday around 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening on the north side of Chicago where I live. My son was in Des Plaines. He said, it's sunny here.
Yeah.
I mean, and the weatherman is doing the forecast for both people.
And it lasted about 25 minutes.
I want him to say, hey, John, for about 25 minutes, hell's going to break loose on your patio and Daisy's going
to
poop.
That is Back to the Future Part 2, right? Doesn't he have the watch tells him it's going to rain in approximately 2 minutes, and then it tells him when it's going to stop.
And I guess that technology exists. There's these block-by-block red weather things, but none of it seems to be right to me.
Well, you raised some concerns to me about the weather that you're seeing and the temperatures you're seeing.
What's
we might have to we might have to triangulate this a little bit because, yeah, I'm seeing, well, from WGN-TV, 91 degrees for the high. Okay. It's 86 right now.
The app on my phone, which is how I live... Why are you laughing at me? This is what people do.
I don't know. No.
It says it's 76.
And I
it
saw
says
the same thing. I know.
My phone says it's going to get up to 78 today. And I'm like, hey, we're going to be at the ball game. This will be great.
I've perused some of the other local websites of the local media outlets, and they aren't nearly as high, but they say the humidity will make it feel like 90 degrees, but they're still in the upper 70s, low 80s right now.
I got 78 as a high. I've got 76 currently on my phone. What I want to know is, what's it going to be in center field at Comiskey Park today at 3:30?
Comiskey Park's long gone, my friend.
That's what I want to know. I want to know what it's going to be where I am in that spot.
I have an image of you in my head, like sitting outside in a beautiful park on the most gorgeous day, just furious because that's not what it said it was going
to
be.
And complaining to all the other park patrons.
You know.
Do you believe this?
I like the idea of center field getting hail, but no one else.
Okay, fine. I'm going to let you all have that, but I think I'm speaking a truth that some people can relate to.
Yes, you're very brave.
Okay, fine. Conversation over. News next, WGN.
So you're a tough guy, like you're really rough guy. Just can't get enough guy, just always so puff guy. I'm that bad type, make your mama sad type. Make your girlfriend mad type, might seduce your dad type. I'm the bad guy. Duh.
It's 11:40 on WGN. Saturday's about this time. Griffin features a song for us. What are we listening to there, Griff?
That's Billie Eilish. Does that name ring a bell to you?
Yeah, it does. Ella likes Billie Eilish.
The song called Bad Guy, which is probably her biggest hit at the moment.
Okay. You want to tell us anything else about that?
She's kind of a phenom. She's huge right now. She's 17 years old out of California.
Is she the one that did the 60-second long songs?
No. That's my favorite, Tierra Whack. She's not dominating the charts the way she should be, but Billie Eilish is. She's 17, and I don't know, like, kids, especially teens, love her. And she's just huge right now.
Is that representative of what her stuff sounds like?
I think so. I mean, it's pretty diverse kind of catalog-ish for where she's at in her career anyway. I don't know. I have trouble speaking on it because I do feel a disconnect with the youth a little bit over Billie Eilish.
What, with you being 27 and all?
Well, yeah.
Maybe so. I mean, bro, she's 17.
The internet has made it so micro generations. It's like if you're 6 months older than someone, that can feel like a decade because it's things true. Move so fast.
It's true.
And so I do feel a little out of touch with younger people who go crazy for Billie Eilish, who I like. And I'm very impressed by her. She writes her own music and records it in her home.
17.
And records it in her house with her older brother, who's like 21. So he's the elder statesman.
Hey, kids, what are you doing up there? Exactly. Are you doing another hit? Come on, we're having dinner.
I love that. That's like, it's extremely impressive. And these are huge songs. So it's not like, you know, she started that way and then graduated to the big leagues. She still makes her music that way. And that's the music that's dominating the charts. I'm very impressed by that. And I respect that. But I haven't connected to it a ton, to be honest. I like this song, but I don't.
I like what you said about that, though, because my Monday through Friday producer, Elif, is 27 also. And she'll roll her eyes sometimes at some songs like an old person because it just doesn't connect with her. I think that observation seems to be true. Mm. I thought that was kind of a groovy thing I was listening to there. Speaking of generations, I thought that sounded pretty good.
I think she's good. I might be misrepresenting myself. I do think she's good, but
1 to 100.
I kind of think that's her best song that I've heard anyway. And I've listened to the album through once. I think that's her best song.
Rate it. Go.
80.
Joe Brand, rate that song.
Well, speaking for the elder generation of the 28-year-olds, I also do. I found myself disconnected too, Griff. I thought that was a good word. My fiance was all about her a couple of months ago, and I totally did not catch a liking to this whatsoever. I called it robot music just because I couldn't really figure out the tune, the catch, or anything. But it's really, really grown on me. I will. I'll give it an 88.
So the wedding is still on?
Yeah. We did not have any disputes about the music with this. So,
Joe, tell me a little bit about 1991. What was that like?
Oh, boy. I remember it just like it was yesterday.
I'm going to give it a... What do you guys give it? Whatever Joe gave it, I'll give it. That's fine.
88.
It's nothing I'm going to seek out, but I thought that was kind of cool.
So next week, she's going to be in Milwaukee Summerfest. What do you say? Rent a van, we all head up there.
Ryan, what do you give it?
I will be carded at
the
door.
Yeah, I'll be
door.
In the... What is it? Out of 100, 80? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, 80, 82. Sounds like a one-hit wonder maybe down the road. We'll look back and think...
Well, she's already got more than one hit. That's the thing.
Not in my book.
No, I definitely think the future is like extremely bright for her because of what we talked about. She's writing this stuff.
What's her name again?
Billie Eilish.
Billie Eilish. You got anything else for
us? I mean, me talking about the future. Like, she's already the biggest thing in music right now, so, or one of them.
Joe Brand, do you have anything for us?
I
do if you
okay,
don't.
Yeah, no, actually I do. We were kind of talking about it in between some segments. The whole baseball being played in London, Red Sox and Yankees. A few years ago, I used to bartend at a local bar on the South Side, and there was this huge Notre Dame fan, big Notre Dame fan, loved everything about Notre Dame. Notre Dame's playing at Fenway Park, and I can't say what he said on the radio, but he said, "I'm tired of this hokey you-know-what." So I wonder if people like the novelty of playing across the pond and over in London, or this stuff is kind of getting old, because they had to take 2 off days just for the travel.
If I were the players, I don't think I'd love it, but the Blackhawks are going to play in Europe next year. The Bears are going to be in Europe next year. The Cubs are going to be in Europe next year. It's branding by these leagues to get an international audience. If I'm the players, I don't like it. But as a fan, if the Cubs were in London today, I'd be okay with that.
Do you think it's catering more to the Americans that are there already? Or do you think they are trying to grow the brand? Or do you think they're just trying to bring Americans who may be displaced or in that region? Because we're going to see a lot of Minnesota Twins fans, I think, tonight at the game. And a lot of them are people from Minnesota who just so happen to be in Chicago now. And they're going to see their Twins.
You don't know this. 3 of them are in our studio right now.
Oh, I know things.
Having traveled down. The idea, I'm a 90.
He's got the John tracker. He knows. Yeah, he knows everything.
Storms are coming.
Griff International Baseball, go.
I like it. I have a lot of unanswered questions. Things that go over there currently, already, do they sell out? How do those, what's the attendance like at these, like football in London?
That does well, but it's
American football.
Football, so that's a big deal. I'd be interested
to see. Well, I don't know. I honestly don't know if it's a big deal to them.
Well, I mean, it's a big deal in that it sells well. The novelty's cool. They want to see it. There's a lot of expats over there.
If that's true, then yeah, I think it's great.
Joey, where are you on this?
I'm pretty up there, but I mean, I don't know. It would take a lot for me as a fan to go over to London to go see a game. I'd love to do it, but that's got to be a big chunk of change.
That Blackhawks trip that we have here, go see them play over there, sold like that.
Yeah.
People, you know, they're like looking for an excuse to go to Europe or something. Boom. That Blackhawks trip sold out instantly.
Yeah, well, I guess that's fair then.
So. All right, I got one for you guys. What do you make of great big giant debates where they have like 50 people on stage all talking at once? Griffin, go.
We kind of got our own going here, but...
well, wait, I want to talk. I want to talk.
Like this.
In one word?
Yeah.
Okay, well, when I was a child... that is zero. I didn't watch. I can't actually speak to it.
Zero. Okay, Joe.
Yeah,
presidential debates with
at
10
this
of them
stage
on
in the game, they have a purpose and it is important.
Sir, we've moved on to another candidate.
Their time will come.
Joe,
and another thing.
Isn't this basically Twitter but in real life?
Yes, it's like what if Twitter wore suits and they were on TV?
Yeah, I mean, I'll give it a 5.
Ryan, you want to sound off?
We did this 4 years ago on the Republican side. Don't forget, there were 17 candidates. They had two nights there, so yeah. we worked through it, and you know, we saw what the result of that was.
I'm not angry.
Look at Lori Lightfoot too. I mean, look, she was on the undercard during one of those last debates, right?
Yeah,
and ended
true.
Up winning, becoming mayor.
Yeah, maybe Marianne Williamson, the lady who said, "I will call the president of New Zealand if I win." Maybe she'll be the next president of the United States. I'm not mad at these things. They're not well executed, but they have a purpose. I'm going to give them a 70.
Well, that's fine.
70.
Can I just ask, this may seem odd, but just the company Disney right now, your feelings on the company Disney at this moment?
Why are you asking?
Rate from 1 to 100.
Do I need to know why?
Just because I saw Toy Story 4 last night, and I had a great time. I really enjoyed the movie. I'm not going to ask you what you thought of it, because I don't think anyone's seen it. I don't know. Maybe you guys have
seen it.
Oh, nice. Joe, what did you think?
Toy Story 4, I give it a 94.
I'm up there, too. I give it an 88, something like that.
Okay, but what's that got to do with your point?
Well, it's a Disney film,
yeah.
And the trailers were all for upcoming Disney projects that will dominate the rest of the movie calendar for this year. And Disney has already dominated the movie calendar until now, anyway, with Marvel properties. They own Marvel, which is the most successful superhero franchise. I'm sorry to do this. Star Wars, which is coming later this year. They own Pixar. And then they own, you know, things that you traditionally think of as Disney movies.
I still don't get your point. Are you mad at Disney for being real successful?
I want to know if you feel that homogeny in your cultural diet. Do you feel like it's all being presented to you by one, from one place? Or, I'm asking because I feel that way, but I don't know if people who aren't engaged in like movies to the ridiculous extent that I am, if they feel that too. So that's why I'm asking.
There does seem to be a Disney corporate cram down on the culture. I get it, and I've kind of resented that
a
little
everything.
Bit. I know that. I know that. And their synergies sometimes annoy me. Having said all of that, Disney, 73. Griffin, go.
You brought it up. I know. But
what's your number?
I brought it up because I think it's interesting. I feel complicated about it. I would say around the same thing, 70, because they do a good job. Like they don't miss that
breaking
much.
News.
So Disney, which is everywhere and is really good, we don't like that.
Well, it's you see what you're saying though. Like it's you get so comfortable with its monopoly that you're like, what's the big deal? I like everything they do. At a certain point, they just merged with Fox. It's
you
like,
want another voice?
Yeah, yeah.
Joe, right,
it's just a slippery slope.
We're done. Joe, go.
Yeah, I'm totally on the fence. 50.
Wow.
I got no answer for this.
When they launch their streaming service, they will truly run your life.
All right, Griffin. We get your point.
In terms of entertainment.
Griffin? Ryan, you're on WGN Radio. Do you have anything to say about Disney?
I'm on the payroll, so I got to recuse myself. I get checks from Mickey, sorry.
He's a newsman. He's not whatever Griffin was.
I went to the movies as Ryan Burrow on the screen constantly.
All right, that wraps up this week's edition of whatever that was. I didn't even get a chance to ask you guys about the big hot dog they sell at Wrigley Field with potato chips on it, sport peppers, and ranch dressing. Brenda and I went to a game, and they said, try the special dog at Wrigley. And I said, okay. And what do I know? But if it's the special dog and it's getting these great reviews, they bring out a foot-long hot dog with crumbled potato chips, ranch drizzle, and sport peppers. Who are the people that do this? This is, what a terrible idea. I'm giving it a 12. It was not a satisfactory experience for me.
Well, there wasn't ketchup on it, was
no,
there?
I know. Like, that's the only sin. You could put duct tape and bugs on there, and they go, hey, it's a cool dog. We're Chicago. No, it's not. That's ridiculous. We'll pause here. Amy Guth has strolled into the studio. Hi, Amy.
Hello. How's it going?
Good.
I share your, I don't know, bewilderment is the word, or outrage or what, about weather.
Oh, right, thank now. You. Thank you.
I'm with you.
I took some grief from Team Williams here, and it wasn't pretty.
I was with you on that one, though. It's real frustrating, and it's such a weird, I feel like, it's like in Miami or in, the Caribbean, where it'll rain for 15 minutes
right.
a day, and you can just kind of count on that. That's what's happening. Only we don't have all the benefits of tropical air and beaches.
I know. We don't get that. We just get that. And in fact, I was thinking about all the things this weekend, including Pride tomorrow at noon. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, I know. I was looking at that thinking, oh boy, that's a lot of people for, I hope there's not a downpour.
Are you going to be around for that, or what's your plan?
I am. I'm going to be with the WGN group on our float doing the thing. I don't know what we're handing out this year. I think last year we had beads and something.
Beads are very popular.
Beads are popular. That's, I feel kind of bad. I kind of underhand for them because I don't want to hit anybody in the face or anything.
I know. It's chaos. Last year and this year, we'll be on the sidelines watching it go by. So it's at noon. It's 4 miles long. It starts on Broadway and Montrose and goes 4 miles mm-hmm. south.
It ends in Diversey Harbor area. Yeah.
Million people.
I believe it.
What are you doing today?
Well, so today we're going to talk a little bit about data privacy, in particular about how data brokers deal with our information and what we can control and what we can't. And that's a really interesting topic because there's data privacy is such a big, big thing. And the conversation is handled very differently in Europe than it is here. There's the right to be forgotten laws in Europe that we haven't quite gotten around to yet. California is thinking about it. California is starting to consider what that might look like in the U.S. But there's a story that's in the Washington Post that really looks at a Vermont data broker. And sometimes it's something really innocuous, like, you can share my data with a third party vendor to give me some deals and whatnot. But sometimes it ends up being much bigger than that. And our information is exposed.
Data brokers are legal, right?
Yeah, it's legal. It's kind of really depends on how you use it and what you're doing with it. But it's another one of those areas where the law hasn't caught up with the behavior. Uh-huh. And it's kind of the Wild West. So we're going to take a look at that. But it's a really interesting piece. And there's a local component to it, too, with Google and the University of Chicago Medical Center. That was kind of positioned like, hey, we can help make your record transfer so much easier if you change doctors. And, it's this paper record. It could be life-saving if it's digitized, but it's ended up, really potentially compromising a lot of people's private medical information. So,
got one other headline for us?
Yeah, we're also going to talk about how investors, mostly fueled by Wall Street, are really changing home ownership, are really changing and kind of making it even harder for yeah. people to get their first or second home.
Why? Because investors are buying them, flipping them, fixing them up. And if you're just a citizen that wants to do it on your own, you're competing with corporate buyers.
That's right. And a lot of times they can pay cash. And if you're the seller and you've got two offers and, hey, this one's going to pay cash, okay, let's go, And so that can be really frustrating. And so there's a New York Times piece about that. And they look at a lot of people who've been trying to get just to buy a home, even in, okay, I'll go to this up and coming area and my money will go further there. And they lose bid after bid after bid because they're up against these corporate investors that just want to flip a house.